السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، إمام النووي رحمه الله تعالى speak on the chapter of الصدق being truthful and truthfulness. Hadith number 56, which is a very famous hadith. It's a long hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, but he just took one part of it. We can explain a little bit of it inshallah ta'ala. The hadith is known as Hadith Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala wa arda, in his meeting with the Hercules when he went to Asham. So just to give you that, we read the hadith and we explain the story inshallah ta'ala. So Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu wa arda, in the story with Hercules, he says, قال هرقل فماذا يأمركم؟ يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the discussion with him, the Hercules, he asked Abu Sufyan about the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Like, what exactly does he teach you? قال قلت, Abu Sufyan says, I said, يقول اعبد الله وحده ولا تشركوا به شيئا. You worship Allah alone and no one else with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. واتركوا ما يقول آباؤكم. And leave aside what your forefathers have said about worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ويأمرنا بالصلاة. He orders us to pray. والصدق, and being truthful. والعفاف, chastity and modesty. والصلة, and strengthen the ties of the kinship. رواه البخاري ومسلم. So that's the story that Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله, I mean Imam al-Nawawi, he chose to put it in this hadith. The story behind it is, if you remember, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he signed a treaty between him in Medina and the people of Mecca. So the Meccans, they took advantage of that treaty because they've been exhausted financially throughout the years of the war. So they were never able to recover from that in the trade towards Asham. They were able to go to Yemen, so they have half of their trade being cut off completely, the trade during the summertime to go to Asham. So now they took advantage of that, and now it's time for them to recover and try their best. So they had a huge caravan led by the chief of Mecca himself, Abu Sufyan, and they went to Asham. During the same time, the Prophet ﷺ also took advantage of that peace treaty, and he started sending his invitations to the leaders of the world to Islam. So he sends a letter to the Hercules in Asham, the one in Egypt, in Yemen, in Persia. So he sent to the major areas around him, invite him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It coincided that at the time of the arrival of the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Hercules in Asham, Abu Sufyan was coming in there with his caravan around that same time. So what was in the letter the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Hercules? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah azza wa jal. He says, Min Muhammad Rasulullah ila Hiraqal, the king of the Romans. Aslim taslam. You become Muslim and you will be safe. Yutik Allahu ajraka marratayn. Allah will give you double the reward for being a Muslim and for also being faithful. Because he was known to be a religious man. He was famous to be a religious man on his own, of course, anyway. And he used to read in the book, like he's looking for these signs and looking for these the sign of the return of the final prophet. Like he believed in that stuff. So when this arrived, the letter, he was surprised and shocked. Like he knew the prophet is going to be coming out, but he never thought it was going to be from the Arab. So he asked, I had in my dream, because he had in his dream, that the king, he said, the king of the circumcised will take his kingdom away from him. And he thought they were the Jewish people. But then he said to the people, he says, could you ask if these Arab, they do that? And they went in the marketplace, found some Arab, said, hey man, come over here. So they checked him and they said, yeah, they do circumcise. So he said, find me somebody who knows this man who sent me this letter. So they asked around and they told him that, they kept telling him, this is the closest family kin that you can find. And it all went to Abu Sufyan. This is his kinship. So they brought Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan, for the first time, he's shocked that the king of the area is calling him. So he came with the group from Quraysh, and as they arrived in the court, the king was sitting there, and you can imagine now the sight and the scene around Abu Sufyan. He looked at the king and all the guards and all the generals and all the bishops, and you can imagine now. So Abu Sufyan, he asked him through the translation, he said, tell him, who is the closest person to him in terms of kinship? He said, that would be me, Abu Sufyan. He said, okay, come forward. And he sent everybody else behind him. And he asked the people behind him, he says, I'm going to ask this man a few questions about this man who claims to be a prophet. If he tells a lie, I need you to tell me. Otherwise, you'll all be liable for this. So Abu Sufyan, he said, I swear to God, I was prepared to give every possible lie, every lie possible about Muhammad at that moment. Except I felt ashamed. I would be ashamed if I would lie about him, that the people will say that I was lying. So subhanAllah, an unbeliever, a polytheist, and he hates lying. Imagine some Muslims today, subhanAllah, lying is just like a way to get out of whatever they think it's okay for them. And he, this non-believing man, he says, no, I'm not going to lie. Like, what a shame to lie to be attributed to someone like Abu Sufyan. So he asked him a few questions. How do you know this man? How close is he to you? Did he ever call for this kingdom before? Did he have from his ancestors anybody who was a king that he maybe he's calling his, you know, for the kingdom of his ancestors? So he asked him many questions. And among the questions that he asked is these questions. He says, what is he exactly ordering you to do? What are his commandments? And that was the answer of Abu Sufyan. He said, well, he's calling us to worship Allah, one God alone, and not associate any partners with him. He commands us to pray to God. He commands us to be truthful to God and to people. He asks us to be modest and stay chaste. And he asks us to maintain the ties of kinship. And it was a long discussion. And at the end of the Hercules, he explained to Abu Sufyan why he asked all these questions. So he told him, you know, I ask you who follows him. He said the Aradil, I mean the poor people. He said that's the true followers of the prophets, the poor usually. I ask you if they leave his faith. He said, no one leaves his faith after, you know, they believe. So this is exactly when the sweetness of faith enters their heart. And I ask about this, I ask about that, I ask about that. And then he said to him, if what you said to me is true, if what you said is true, he says, one day he is going to take and occupy this space under my feet. Like he's going to take this land. And suddenly, Abu Sufyan said, an uproar in the court. They start arguing among themselves, and then they just kind of tried taking us out of the court there, and just as we're working outside of the palace, looking at each other. And Abu Sufyan, he was so shocked. And he told his people, he says, look what happens here. The king of the blondies, he said, the king of the blondies is so scared of him. Like to this level, Muhammad's kingdom has become so strong. He's basically saying, even the king of Bani al-Asfar, the yellow people, the blondies they call them, they're like, the king of the blondies is so scared of him. And then he said, I knew since then that the time was coming. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, continuing the story afterwards, from his own accord, he says, and this king afterwards, he wanted to test the people around him and the strength of their faith. So he calls the closest amongst them to him. And he started negotiating with them, telling them, what do you guys think? Shouldn't we listen to him and follow this prophet? I mean, if we do, we gain both the reward of this world and also the reward for the hereafter. But his people didn't even want to entertain the idea. And they started running towards the gates, saying that, you know what, this is blasphemy. But they found all the gates to be locked and closed. He said, come over here. I was just testing the strength of your faith. Now that you are, I'm okay with that too. And then Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, he kept saying that as the Muslims are advancing into the north, this king started, of course, retreating, until they were expelled completely from the Levant, Asham, into Turkey, modern-day Turkey, and even beyond. And then he said, that was the last thing we've heard from this king. As if Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, ta'ala, according to Imam ibn Hajar, on the commentary of the hadith, he says, كان الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى يأمل أنه قد أسلم. Like as if Imam al-Bukhari was hoping that those words of the king were indication that he believed before he died. But Allah ta'ala, we have no confirmation of that. The point from the story here, he says, was sidq, and he commands you to be truthful. So my dear brothers and sisters, being truthful, as you can see, subhanAllah, it's a quality that even the non-believers recognize, the value of being truthful. And here you're talking about conversation between someone who worships the idols, another who a Christian. And they both understood the value of being truthful. And of course, in Islam, it enhances that as well too. Making that being truthful to Allah first and before anything is more important than anything else. And then being truthful to the people. So make sure, whatever that you say, it should be true, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Any question, Jamaah? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.